You're judging me. You're judging me.
You're judging me.
It's okay for you. You can judge me, but I can't judge you.
I don't.
But I'm not judging you. It's the word of God that judges you.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. The word of God condemns you.
Every name.
You haven't got eternal life, sir.
Every name.
You haven't got eternal life.
Nah.
I don't believe you.
Every name's going to be written.
I don't believe you. That's right. But when you believe, sir, all the arguments go. You don't fight. You don't cuss. You don't swear.
You've got to give a man a chance, man. You've got a microphone.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, you go and buy one.
No, give us a chance.
Well, go and buy one. Go and buy one.
God bless, anyway.
Okay. So there you go. Like I say, friends, it's the word of God, you know, my opinions of no account, none whatsoever. It's what God says, you know, in his word in the Bible, it's that alone. And so I'm not here to bring you my opinions. I'm not here to tell you about man's opinion. But what God says, because ultimately he's the one who's going to judge you. He's the one before whom you're going to stand when you breathe your last and go out of this world. Then you meet with God, the God you never believed existed, the God you said never existed. Then you stand before him and you give account for all that you've said and done. Everything that you've done in the body, in your life that is, you give account in that day. So that's why men and women need to believe. That's why they need eternal life. That's why they need to be changed. That's why they need to be transformed by the power of God. In their hearts, you see, it's the heart that's the problem. It's not the physical, it's not the outside. That don't matter a hoot. It's the inside that matters. It's out of the heart, says Jesus, that proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts that turn into evil actions.
You can't repent your sins.
And of course, well, that's what you need to do, yeah, repent.
What,
repent.
Before or after?
Repent. No, now. Now, sir.
Why
now?
Why now? I thought he said you have to meet God after.
No, you won't meet him. It's too late then.
So why?
Too late then.
What do you have to do now then?
Get on your knees and cry out to God for mercy.
On your knees to nobody.
There you go, you see.
Why should I, man? He's no better than me.
Because you're a wicked, evil sinner. With a black heart.
You stupid, man.
No. No, sir. I used to be, but not anymore. Hello, madam. How you doing?
You silly boy.
No, I used to be.
Don't talk nonsense out of a man-made book, mate, yeah?
There you go, you see. You believe the word of God, eh?
No, I don't. No. That's a man-made book, though.
You believe the word of God, yeah.
That's a man-made book.
Yeah. So like you say, friends, you know, people say that they believe, you know, but, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, says Jesus. What comes out of a man, what comes out of a woman's mouth, you can tell what's in their heart.
Exactly.
And when they curse and swear and say that God's word is nonsense, well, that's what's in the heart, you see. They hate God, you see. They hate his word. And of course, hate their fellow man. So, you know, that we used to, we get it all the time, you know, people arguing, like, you know, but they got no basis. They're not got a leg to stand on. You can use whatever means you please, you know, to try to seek to explain God away, to hold the truth in unrighteousness, suppress the truth, that is, of the knowledge of God. But friends, it doesn't hold water. You know, you can't, you really can't justify it. Not by any means at all. Either by evolutionary religion or any other kind of idolatrous religion. So here, any way to offer the word of God to you, for those of you that is who would receive it, it's an extract from the Bible, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. It's one of the books of the Gospels, Mark's Gospel, and of course, the Word of God that has the ability that I don't have, and that is to convince you, to convict you of your sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. And of course, to convince you also of your need of the only Savior, Jesus, who came, who has appeared in this world, died, and risen again from the dead, in order that we invitation to you. Yours for the asking. We talked in the past about justification and what it is, how that, the New Testament of the Bible speaks about that, how a man is justified before God, made right with God, that is, a right standing, right status with God, ready, of course, to live their lives for God's glory, and of course, ready for that time when, well, it's all going to come to us, you know, when we die, because as the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. So it's important, you see, that you have eternal life in your soul before that time comes. Maybe, who knows, you know, you put your own socks on this morning, who knows, but maybe you won't take them off. Maybe the undertaker will take them off this evening. Who knows? None of us knows the time, the moment when we will breathe our last and go out of this world. So what I'm saying to you is that for your safety's sake, salvation's sake, that you be right with God before that time comes. So the Word of God, friends, speaks about how a man can be justified, how a man can be right before God. That really is the $64 million question. How does a man get right with God? And of course the Bible goes on to answer that question. And it's through faith. Faith, that is, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is the justifying act. That is what makes a man, a woman, right with God. The moment that a sinner believes, truly believes in Jesus, God justifies that sinner. So you might ask the question, well then, what is justifying faith? Because, well, there'd be a lot of people in Nottingham today, I guess, who would say that they have faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? What is justifying faith? What is the faith that makes a man, a woman, right with God? Well, some people might say you need to have faith in yourself. You need to have more self-belief. Well, I'm sure that would get you on well in the world. That might get you through university. That might get you a better job. That might make you more prosperous. Oh yes, if you had faith in yourself, I'm sure you would get on in the world very well. But friends, it won't get you right with God. Trusting in yourself. I mean, some people say that, don't they? Go with your heart. Trust your heart, they say. You know? Friends, according to the Bible, that's the worst thing that anybody could possibly do. That's the worst advice anybody could be given. Because God says, your heart and my heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things. Your heart and my heart, that's the last thing that we need to trust in. So what is justifying faith? What is the faith? If it's not faith in yourself, then what is it? Well, it's not faith in idolatrous religion. You see, what is idolatrous religion? It's anything that's contrary to what God has revealed in the Bible. It might be your favorite religion. It might be the religion of evolution. It might be the religion of Islam. It might be the religion of Roman Catholicism. It might be the religion of the Watchtower Society. Oh, there are many world religions, many of them, with many subscribers, many followers, who may sincerely believe, trust in their religion. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, if it's contrary to what God has revealed and spoken in His Word, the Bible, then it is nothing but idolatrous religion. Because it's in the Bible and Bible alone that God has revealed Himself and, of course, revealed knowledge to us by which we're able to do many wonderful things, which if God had not revealed to us, we would not be able to do. Science, philosophy, love, logic, mathematics, chemistry, all these laws that we use day by day, laws come from an intelligent mind. They come from the mind of God. you see, friends, whatever, you might be devoted very sincerely to your religion, but if it is contrary to what God has revealed in the Bible, His character, His will, and of course the revelation of yourself and myself, what man is truly like. And when you discover, when you read for yourself in the Bible, how that God has revealed human nature to us in the law. Oh, believe me. Oh, yes, He has, sir. Yes, He has. But friends, you know, a gentleman just a few moments ago was telling me that I was trusting in a man-made book. Well, if this is a man-made book, please listen to how God describes desperately wicked, He says. That's human nature. And the description of human nature that God gives us, well, I tell you, if men wrote the Bible, I tell you, they would not describe themselves in the way that God describes man in the Bible. Filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's God's description of the human race in its entirety. Or do you think that if men wrote the Bible, that's how they would describe themselves? Is that how you would describe yourself? I don't think so. Not one of us. You would describe yourself as being good, as being respectable, as being nice, as being cool. But that's not how God sees you. That's not how God sees any one of us. No, sinners to a man, to a woman. So if you're believing, if you're trusting in anything, any religious institution, and even yourself, your own self, your own cleverness, your own intellectual ability, your own morality, well, believe me, you're in a bad place. Because that does not justify you before God, make you right before God. So what is justifying faith? What is the faith that makes a man or woman right with God? Well, it's a saving grace. It's a grace that saves. It's the amazing grace of God. It's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the grace, the free grace of God, you see? It's freely given. That means, of course, that you can't work for it. You can't be good for it. You can't be respectable for it. You can't be religious for it. You can't be morally upright for it. You can't be anything for it. Because the moment that you say that you have to do something, that's work. You have to do something in order to get right with God. Well, you cancel out His grace because it's the free gift of God. Well, you see, if it's of works, then it cannot be of grace. And if it's of grace, it cannot be of works. But the Bible tells us a man cannot work himself right with God. Now that puts aside all your idolatrous religions, all your world religions, because they all of them, every single one of them, bid you to do something in order to be right with God, to be justified with God. And you cannot be justified by God by your own works. Only by the grace of God, the kindness of God, the kindness and love of God our Savior, which has appeared to all men. You see? Toward man has appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He sheds upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, having who justifies us by His grace, by His free offer, by His kindness, by His goodness. goodness, his love. You see, friends, it's the outworking of that verse, of course, that you've heard doubtless so many times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Salvation, experience, enjoy salvation at the cost of God, of his freely given Son, Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God, you see, that justifies, the free grace of God given by God to whoever he pleases to give it to. It's a saving grace. It's a gift, you see. It's sheer, pure, unadulterated gift from God to sinners, vile, rotten, undone, depraved, deceitful hearted, and desperately wicked. It's a saving grace, you see. It's the gift of God. That's what makes a man, that's what makes a woman right with God. And of course, well, it's worked, you see, this grace. It's worked in the heart, you see. Because it's the heart that's the problem. It's not the outside. See, here's the thing, friends. You know, you can become religious, and that will change you on the outside. You know, it may well change the way you dress. It may change you in many aspects. Places you go, people you talk with and meet with. It changes you on the outside, but all that is on the outside. You can become a very morally respectable person. Tidy up your life, tidy up your act, and become the epitome of respectability. But that doesn't please God, because inside, you see, the heart is still diseased. Inside, the heart's still full of poison. Inside the heart, you see, there's no life of God. So, no eternal life, no everlasting life in the heart. It's the heart that's the problem. Out of the heart proceed of evil thoughts, says Jesus. That's where all the bad stuff, that's where all the evil, that's where all the wickedness in the world comes from, comes out of the hearts of men and women the world over. All of us, your heart and my heart too. So it's a heart, you see, and God, by his saving grace, he works in the hearts of sinners and changes the hearts of poor, lost, and rotten, vile sinners. He works in the heart because it's the heart that God looks upon, not the outside. It's what's in your heart, for God. What's in your heart for God today? Is there love in your heart for God today? How are you doing, sir? Hello. You having a good day? It's a lovely day, isn't it? Thanks be to God, yeah. You a believer, sir?
No.
You're not? Why not, sir? Why not a Christian?
I don't
believe it. No? Would you like to read them?
No.
No? Okay.
Oh. That
really offered.
That first line there is the bit that's already annoyed me, I'm afraid.
It's what?
That first line there is the one that's already annoyed me.
Oh, okay, well, don't be annoyed. Don't be annoyed. Hey, come on, we're not in a free country.
Yeah,
we got free freedom of speech. It's free market.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, it's a lovely deal. Let's be kind to one another.
I would pick up sword and shield to defend your right to say what you want wherever
you want. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
It doesn't mean I like that line, evolution is alive.
Well, here's the thing, sir. The trouble is that nobody in the city of Nottingham have I found yet who can justify it.
Evolution is possibly a lie.
No. It is, because here's the thing, sir. It's contrary to what God has revealed in his word, in the Bible.
Yeah, but it's not contrary to fact.
No, it is. It is.
No.
There is not. Here's the thing, sir. If evolution was true, right? Here's just one point, right? Okay. People say, I'm an evolutionist, and I say, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I say, well, do you think it's wrong? What about you? Do you think it's wrong for one man to murder another? Is that wrong?
Of course it's wrong.
Okay, that's good. Do you believe it's wrong for a man to rape a woman? Is that wrong?
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing with you. That's good. But here's the thing, yeah? Evolution, in an evolutionary worldview, yeah, it says that we believe, this is what they say they believe in the survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
For me to murder another man, that's me just, I'm the stronger, and the guy that's weaker than me, he goes down. You know what I mean? See, here's the thing, sir. You get no base...
Let me finish.
You get no basis, none whatsoever, yeah, for ethics. There was a philosopher, German philosopher, just over a hundred years ago, a guy by the name of Nietzsche, yeah?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Nietzsche berated his English atheistic friends. He said, you are clinging to your morality. He says, get rid of it. That comes from the Bible. You can't be an atheist and cling to that morality. Get rid of it. Now, you might not agree with him, but at least he was consistent. That's more than the most of the people around me here today who claim to believe in evolution.
The thing is, the whole point is you evolve to a point that you don't require. So to be survival of the fittest is correct. But then when you become of a higher intellect, when you evolve to a higher intellect, survival of the fittest isn't a requirement.
Oh, where do you get that? By whose standard?
By whose standard what?
By whose standard?
By whose standard what?
Do you reach this point of intellectual
Well, you've reached it. This is why we have laws.
Can I just pitch in a second? I think you're both misinterpreting the word fittest. The fittest actually means fittest for the place. It doesn't mean strongest or cleverest. If nicest or altruistic is the fittest for what you need.
Do you want to just stop his argument straight off? If you read your Bible carefully, it says that mixed cloth is also punishable by death. You're stood there in denim and whatever your jacket is. That's mixed cloth. You're going to hell as much as any homosexual,
as any sinner, and anything else. That was.
Oh, is that something else you just want to pick out and not agree with, is it?
Do you want to answer or not?
Go for it.
That was the Levitical law given to a theocratic nation, who were required to live separate from all the other nations.
You don't have to listen to that bit, no?
It's abrogated, sir.
You don't have to listen to that bit.
It's abrogated
by... You don't have to listen to that bit, then, no?
Can I answer your question, or are you just going to keep interrupting me? I'm trying to answer it, if you let me, yeah? It's abrogated by the New Testament. Anything in the New Testament that is annulled...
So where does it...
There you go again.
Listen, so New Testament, where does Jesus say anything about homosexuality? Where does Jesus say anything about homosexuality?
Mark's Gospel?
No, he doesn't.
Mark's Gospel?
No, he doesn't. Everything to do with
one man, one woman, one man, one woman in holy matrimony, sir.
Everything to do with homosexuality in the Bible.
It's unnatural.
Leviticus.
Romans chapter 1. It's unnatural.
It's unnatural.
It's unnatural. It's unnatural, sir. It's unnatural. It's against nature and it's against God. It's against nature and against God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1.
Is priests reaping charity?
What were you saying, sir?
What I was saying was the fact that you say that rape and murder are part of survival of the fittest, which they are unto a point, because then once you evolve to where you're required, you don't need, because evolution isn't a constant thing.
Right.
Evolution only happens until such point in time as your conditions change.
No.
When your conditions become, because people, I've got friends who are religious who say, if you have evolution, why have we still got monkeys? Why isn't everybody a human being?
Yes.
Because evolution only works until such point in time as the conditions become stable, and then you don't move on.
Yeah.
But if you go by the whole rule of saying, is rape wrong, and I say yes, and you say murder is wrong, is right. But then when you then have a religious system that still believes in barbaric execution, where does that then fit into it? If we all agree that murder is wrong and rape is wrong, but within the quota of religion...
But tell me, where do you get that standard from?
Where do you get the standard of... What standard of religion?
Who says it's wrong for one man to murder another? By what standard? By whose standard?
It's not a standard based on religion.
Let me ask you another question, right? Would it be wrong for us as a nation to rise up and murder Jews? Would that be wrong? Would that be wrong?
Of course it would.
It wasn't according to Adolf Hitler. So by whose standard? His standard? Your standard? Our standard? My standard? Whose standard? Where do you get the standard from?
You're always going to have people who will have an ideal that doesn't match the constant. That's why if it was okay to murder Jews and it was okay to and okay to persecute other people, we probably wouldn't have had the Second World War.
Okay, but you're talking about
standards.
You're talking about rules. You're talking about laws. Where did they come from?
Are you now going to tell me that? Are you going to tell me about them being based in religion?
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
You don't get laws out of matter. Now, just let me give you a scene, right?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Please. There was nothing, and then all of a sudden there was something. It caused a bang. Nobody knows where the something came from, but it caused this bang, this magical bang, and it brought. Let me finish.
When you're a man of God, don't use the term magical because it insults us both.
I apologise. I didn't mean to do that.
To what you say is magic, and what you're talking about with me is magic.
Okay, fair enough. I apologise.
Okay.
Right, so there's this explosion.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where it came from, but it was, and there's a great big lump of matter, and all of a sudden, out of this lump of matter, you get ethics, you get spontaneous life, you get the laws of love, the laws of logic, the laws of nature, you get all these laws. Sir,
please.
Yeah. Laws do not come from matter. Laws come from an intelligent mind. And that mind is the mind of God, who created everything in the beginning.
Because we've had laws and ethics and understanding and altruism pre-Christian Bible. Uh-huh. The Greeks were talking about it before Christianity was ever even thought.
This goes back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah, but that's back to the beginning, to a book written at a particular point. No. It was human beings before that book was written.
No, sir.
It was back to
the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He was there. Evolution is unprovable. Nobody was there. And there's nobody with the ability to go back there.
Right.
But I know somebody who was there.
Right.
God was there.
And he
made it.
Right, well, let me give you a quick idea, right, about you saying that evolution isn't a thing. Pre the Industrial Revolution, we have a moth in this country. Its name escapes me. But pre the Industrial Revolution, this moth was mainly white. Now, see, you're looking tired because I'm explaining. I listened you out.
I'm listening to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. This moth was white with a mild grey speckle. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, then, when the Industrial Revolution kicked off, and then next thing you know, we have large amounts of dirt, chimneys are spewing it out.
Yeah. I got it, yeah.
That moth,
yeah,
with its white complexion,
yes,
right,
yes,
was sitting, where it lived, was meant that it was sitting on things covered in grey.
Right.
Yeah?
So it changed colour, you mean?
And it changed colour. And it changed colour in a very short period of time. And not only that, it then changed colour back when we cleaned up the air.
Yeah,
and that is in a period of time, not back thousands of years,
yeah,
when science and men were already evolved.
That is
that's a living example of evolution.
No. That's not a change of species.
I never said it was a change of species.
I said it was a change
of colour.
And they can't produce any change of species.
No, I never said it was a change of species. It's a change of colour.
So how did monkeys become men then?
Monkeys aren't men.
Sorry?
Monkeys aren't men.
No, but they became men. They became men according to evolution.
We share a common ancestor.
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Right. So do you think?
It's a stretch.
Well, you tell me what. Tell me what dinosaurs are then.
Sorry.
Tell me what dinosaurs are.
Well, they mentioned in the Bible they're extinct.
Yeah, no.
Like the dodo. The dodo's extinct.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, I understand they're extinct.
But
that's not. You haven't given me an answer. You
what
explain
you
what they were.
What do you mean?
What
do you want to call it? A dragon? A leviathan? You know?
No. I want you to explain.
We know they
exist. Yeah.
I've never seen one. They were extinct before I was born.
Yeah, but I've never seen God. But you stood on a box, ramming it down our throats.
Now you're getting nasty now. I'm ramming it down your throat. I'm just talking to you. I'm not ramming in down your throat.
I'm talking
to you civilly. We're having a nice conversation.
You're stood there. You have me at a disadvantage. As somebody once said to me, you'll never win an argument with a man with a megaphone.
Well,
you have me at a disadvantage.
I'm here just for the public to hear me, sir. You know,
but,
it's...
You've just used the term to say nobody was around to see a dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for a lot of us, none of us actually physically see God.
Here's the thing. God says...
You expect us to believe.
Please. God says that there is no such a thing as an atheist on planet Earth. He says that every man born into this world knows that God is, right? God has made it manifest in them. You have an innate knowledge of God in you, but you suppress that truth in unrighteousness because you have a sinful nature, sir, just like the rest of us, and you don't want there to be a God. You want evolution to be true. No. But on the day when you stand before God, when you meet God, you're not going to say, "Oh God, I thought evolution was true.
Right.
Oh, what a surprise.
Right.
I didn't know." It won't be like that, sir.
Okay, right. Well,
you have known that God is.
No.
All your existence.
No,
and
I've
even
been taught there was a God.
Oh.
Being taught there is a God doesn't mean there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
Being taught it doesn't mean there is. Being brought up in a country that is secular but with a Christian leaning means I am become aware of a God. Doesn't mean, whereas to say your God, being a Christian, you have your God. Well, who's to say you're right when there's a billion people that have been in India who have a different God?
Yeah, they have a million gods.
Well, they don't have a million gods, no.
Well, you're getting close.
It's nowhere near close because we have recorded through time man has worshipped slightly less than 3,000 gods, so they haven't got a million gods.
Well, let's not argue about numbers. Yeah.
Well, if we start off...
There is only one God, sir, the true and living God, and he has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Do you mean the God of the Bible?
The God of the Bible. Yeah.
Well, can I ask
Hinduism, all your world religions, there is not an ounce of salvation in any one of them. They are all idolatrous religion. Anything contrary to what God has spoken, revealed in his word, is nothing but idolatrous religion, and that includes evolution.
So let me get this right, because it is bordering on mild.
How you doing, ma'am?
It is bordering on being a bit dubious, this. So the people in India, billion or a billion plus of them,
They're lost.
See,
they're lost.
Me and you will need to stop speaking now.
Okay, well,
because what you're saying is that your religion is right, but their religion is wrong.
Definitely, I am.
Can you listen to that? Does that not sound? Like you've picked an opinion over what you think is the right God. But
it's not my opinion, it's the word of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other name, says the Bible, under heaven whereby a person can be saved, only through the name of Jesus Christ. Hindus are lost, sir. Just like the Watchtower Society, Roman Catholics, Buddha, the Islamic religion, the whole nine yards. Anything contrary to the word of God, sir, it's idolatrous religion. Well, let's end it in a good note. Let's not fall out.
If you say Roman Catholics,
it's what religion?
If you say it's lost,
yeah, it's what religion?
I assume then you're one variant of Protestantism, whatever variant it is.
I would call myself a Protestant. Yeah.
What, evangelical?
That's it. Yeah, you got it.
But bearing in mind that the Catholicism was around before Protestantism.
It's an aberration. It's a deviance.
How can it be a deviance if it was there first?
No, it wasn't. Constantine was the man who formed it and developed it. It's works religion, sir. It's either works or grace. If it's works, it's no longer grace. If it's grace, it's no longer works. You cannot work your way right with God. Only by his grace through faith.
See, this whole thing of the fact that you're prepared to potentially just wipe out the whole ideal of a billion people.
Uh-huh.
And see, can you see how that it's extraordinarily unpalatable?
Yes, and also, to the natural mind. But sir, that's why we still send missionaries to India.
So?
And to Pakistan and to Australia and to America, to Jamaica, to Ukraine, to Russia, we send missionaries all over the world.
Okay.
For that same reason, sir, that men are steeped in idolatrous religion, and so too is our own nation.
But the thing is, it has in times been beneficial to us to send Christians to other nations, hasn't it?
To convert them. To
quote Bishop Desmond Tutu, who said, when the white man arrived, he had the Bible and we had the land. And he said, close your eyes and pray, children. When we opened our eyes, we had the Bible and they had the land.
Right. You said that, didn't you? Right,
yeah.
Okay. Well, some missionaries may have got it wrong. I have no idea about that, but I know we've sent sent missionaries, and we're still sending them out all over the world to preach God's word, to bring men to faith in Jesus Christ, that they might be saved.
I'd rather it was welfare without religion, as opposed to welfare with religion.
Well, you know, we don't leave the other undone. We do both. We do both. If a man's hungry, well, we buy him bread. Yeah? But we still tell him the gospel, that his soul might be saved as well as his body.
So do you know, in some ways, do you feel that it is the right thing to do? Do you think spreading the word of God is the right thing for you to do?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that do you think, because it then will help endeavour your likelihood of getting into the heaven?
No. I do it because I am saved. I'm right with God. If I never preached again in all my life, that would not change my status with God. I don't do this to please God. This is not works. This is simply what God has commanded his people to do. I'm a minister of the gospel. I was sent by God into the ministry. I've been in pastoral ministry in churches up and down the land. And I've preached on the streets of the United Kingdom for the last 36 years because I am saved, because God has loved me and by his grace saved me, not in order to get right with God. Yeah, I don't have to. If I left off doing this, it would not make a difference to my relationship with God, none whatsoever. Yeah. Sir, nice talking to you. Have a nice day, yeah?
And you too.
Yeah. I'm glad we kept the level, eh?
Yeah.
Say hello to Liverpool for me when you get back.
I will do.
Have a good day, eh?
I still don't agree with you.
No, sorry, I know, but hey, have a good day, eh? Really enjoy it. Sir, I say, friends, it's, sir, would you like to talk of God's word? No. Oh, it's good to talk, yeah? Gospel preaching leads to gospel conversations. So as I was saying, you know, justifying grace to grace, you know, what makes a man or woman right with God is the grace of God, the amazing grace of God, you know. It's a saving grace, it's a gift of God, and of course it works in the heart of a man, a woman, a sinner. But how does it work in the heart of a sinner? Well, by God himself, by the operations of God's grace. He works in the hearts of men and women and changes their hearts, because it's the heart that's the problem. Out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, says Jesus. You know, immorality, theft, blasphemy, all the bad stuff, the wicked stuff you see in the world, it all comes out of the hearts of men and women the world over. And that's what makes our world such a bad place to live in, you know? But God changes the heart, you know, by his grace. He changes the heart of a man, a woman, becomes new, you know, a new creature in Jesus Christ, is the way the Bible puts it. And that man no longer hates his neighbor, no longer hates God, but loves God and loves his neighbor. He seeks to fulfill the royal law, that is the law of God. Summed up in the words of Jesus, to love God and to love your neighbor. By the grace of God, you see. Only by the grace of God. By the grace of God working in the hearts of sinners. Changing, transforming them. And of course, it's worked by the Spirit of God. And the Word of God, born of the Spirit, you see. Through the everlasting gospel. You see, it's the gospel that's being proclaimed, as I'm doing here today, here this afternoon in Nottingham City. It's the means that God has ordained, you see, to bring men to his grace and salvation. It's the means by which God justifies sinners through the preaching of the gospel. God sends his men the world over. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, he says. And that's what we do. That's why I'm here today. Now we know, the Bible says, God says, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. That is the preaching of the gospel. Because that's the means by which God changes the hearts of men and women. Brings them to with God, in the right status with God, in the right standing with God. That's what the word justify means. To make a person, a man, a woman, right with God. But you see, in doing so, through the preaching of the gospel, by the operations of God's Spirit and His Word, His precious, delightful, holy Word, it's the holy Word of God because it comes from a holy God. And of course, what He does is He convinces, He convicts men and women of their sin. They begin to see for the first time in their life. Maybe perhaps through the preaching of the gospel that they are indeed sinners, cut off from God, separated from God by their iniquities, by their rebellious, their lawless hearts and lives. Yes, it's discomforting because nobody likes to be told that they're sinners. No one likes to be told, you know, what they're truly, really like. We all like to think of ourselves as being respectable and good and kind and there's nothing wrong with us. But that's far from the truth. Man, look at the human race. Look at the world you live in. What's good about the human race? Absolutely nothing. There's none good, says God. None that doeth good. None righteous, says God. We're all gone out of the way, become unprofitable. None that seeketh after God. So that's why we need to be justified. But first of all, we need to be convinced of the reality of our sin. Because without that, you're not going to be looking for a Savior. I mean, if you're not sick, if you're not convinced that you're sick, you're not going to visit the doctor. Only sick people visit the doctor when you know there's something wrong with you. Then you go to the doctor of the hospital. But friends, until you know there's something wrong with your heart, your heart's diseased, it's then and then alone that you'll seek for a Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for sinners.
Just praying on poor souls, just leave it.
So friends,
know where the church is.
Through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you see, that's how God brings people to a knowledge, the reality of their sin and of their need. The righteousness of God which is required of them, because yours and mine, our righteousness is like filthy rags. No good in the sight of God. He won't touch them, look upon them. He's a purer eyes than to behold evil, iniquity. Convinces of, the judgment of God is a reality. After you die, you will meet God. Is it appointed to, unto man wants to die after this, the judgment? Death is inescapable. Judgment is inevitable. But friends, I can't convince you of that. With my words, with my ability, only God Himself can convince you of the reality of these things. Of your sin, your unrighteousness, and of the judgment that will be visited upon that if you are not right with God, justified by the grace of God. So you see, it's by the preaching of the gospel that God convinces men of their sinful state and the misery. Because that's what sin does to us, isn't it? She's as miserable as sin, eh? He's as miserable as sin, because that's what sin does. That's his job, you might say, to make you miserable. Now some people say, well, the primary end of life in this world is for us to be happy. Does it matter? Does it matter that I fornicate if it makes me happy? Does it matter, you know, if I'm homosexual, but it makes me happy? Does it matter if I rob a bank, but it makes me happy? Friends, if happiness is the primary aim of the human race of men and women born into this world, then you've made an awful sad job of it, because I don't see very many happy people around in Nottingham City today. No, friends, we spend our lives in misery. Why? Because we're miserable sinners, that's why. But God make you everlastingly happy if you were justified by His grace, by His Spirit, through the proclamation, the preaching of the gospel. That's the means by which God reveals our lostness, that we are cut off from God, estranged from God, alienated from God. No, not a million miles away. again. That's why you need to be justified, made right with God, so that that wrath of God be removed from off you, and you know and enjoy His favor and His acceptance. And only the gospel, you see, only the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, He saved us. He saved us not by works of righteousness, what we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Having justified us by His grace and making us to be inheritors of the hope of eternal life. That brings happiness. Happiness to the soul. Joy everlasting. Oh friends, there's joy to be had in the gospel. It's through the preaching of the gospel that God reveals to men and women their impotence, you know, powerlessness before the ravages of sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, God, Jesus commands, you know, God commands all men everywhere now to repent. Yeah? Bible says that. Jesus says, repent ye and believe the gospel. But here's the thing, you can't repent and believe the gospel. Not of yourself. Why? Because these are gifts from God. They come with the grace of God, you see? Well, you might argue, you might say, well, why on earth does Jesus tell us to repent and believe if we can't do it? Well, to bring you to that place of realizing that you can't do it. That you're shut into God. That God must come and help you and bring you to that place of crying out to God. That He would be merciful to you. And give you His grace. And give you the gift of repentance. And give you the gift of faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. That you might be justified. That's what justifying faith is. Then of course, well, you know, when God's worked in your heart, when God's grace, you see, has broken into your heart, into your life, and begun to transform you, well then, you see, the arguing stops, you know? You don't stop in the street and argue with the street preacher, you give him a high five, you know? He's your buddy because he's preaching the truth. All the arguments are gone, you know? And you are sent to the truth of God, you know? You don't argue about His creative activity, His providence, His salvation, His revelation concerning human nature. All these things you realize are true. And it's that truth, you see, that God has revealed that has brought you to that place of agreeing. Can two walk together if they don't agree with one another? This is not possible. How can you walk with God when you don't agree with Him? This is not possible. But only God by His grace can bring you to that place of agreeing with Him. That is by justifying you, making you right with Himself by the precious, precious grace of God, the gift of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's then you see that you're ready, when you're sent to the truth, that you're ready to receive the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And it's the truth, He says, it will make you free to receive the truth of God in faith, that is, and to receive the righteousness of God. You see, when a woman believes in Jesus, that God Himself dons the judge's cap, brings down His gavel, and declares that sinner, wicked, rebellious, iniquitous sinner, declares that man, that woman, to be righteous in the sight of God. That's the gospel, friends. That's the good news. That's justifying faith. That's what makes a man, that's what makes a person right with God. Grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, no other. So friends, it's then you see, instead of standing in your own righteousness, instead of, you know, claiming, you know, to be okay, to be right, you know, you stand in in the righteousness of God, trusting in the righteousness of another. And that day when you stand before God, dear friends, you do not want to be standing in your own righteousness. You need the righteousness of another. The righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, in the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. He came into this world for this reason and that purpose, to save, to rescue men and women, to rescue them from their unrighteousness, to rescue them from their sinful state and condition, their heart condition, to turn them from their sin and from the coming wrath of God, and to turn them to Jesus Christ, to wait for His appearing, the Son of God, who delivers men and women, even today, from the wrath to come. So friends, justifying faith, that's what you need. Not faith in yourself, not faith in your world religions, not faith in Islam, not faith in Roman Catholicism, not faith in the Watchtower Society, not faith in yourself, but faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command, and the promise is, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ that is, shall be saved from the penalty and the power of sin. Its wages is death, and its power holds you in its grip and will not let you go, save at the behest of Jesus, the one who saves and justifies sinners. So friends, today, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and get right with God. Read God's word, meditate upon it. Seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and then return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Today, friends, repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself. It's offered to you freely without cost or obligation to you. You'd like to have one? Then do feel free